Thank you guys for joining us, regardless of what platform, what day you're joining us on. Thanks for making time to worship the Lord. We're going to grow in our faith together today. As I bring a message that I have intentionally just decided to call it the same thing every year when I preach it with repetition, and that's this, the attitude of gratitude. Amen. That one of the number one things that postures us and allows us to walk in, again, the protection and the direction and the provision. I'm going to show you how the Bible speaks to all three of those things regarding this one concept, the attitude of gratitude. You know, you can't control what happens in your life, but you have a choice to determine the attitude that you will have towards it. You cannot control some of the things that are going to happen in life, but you always have the opportunity to decide what you are going to call it. And I want to encourage you today that happiness is not a set of things or possessions or even people in your life. Happiness in life is determining to have a certain set of attitudes about life. And so let's pray and ask the Lord to just help underline this message in our hearts. For maybe for some of you, I could stand to hear you preach this message. Maybe for some of you, you're walking strongly in this principle. Maybe for some of us today, it's a refresher, a reminder. Or maybe today there's a revelation about the significance of this. Come on a week where the word Thanksgiving is on many, many people's lips, this is more than a holiday. This is a principle and a lifestyle that God has called us to live out that postures and positions us for his protection, direction, and provision. So let's get to praying. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to gather as your people in your presence and in your house. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through your word today. God, thank you for the precious lives that we celebrated this morning being baptized as a public declaration of their faith and trust and hope in Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, in this part of the service, thank you, Lord, for using an imperfect person, an imperfect message to reveal in a greater way the heart of a perfect Father. Lord, thank you that we really do. Every one of us has so much to be thankful for. And if all we have is our faith in Jesus Christ, we have enough to be thankful for today. Lord, I pray that you would encourage, strengthen, help, heal, comfort. Lord, bring courage to people, God, today. Lord, anyone who's hurting in any way, shape, or form. Lord, anyone who's in a battle. Anyone who's struggling, God, anyone who is hopeless today, Lord, we thank you that you are able, Lord, to intervene in every one of those situations and all the other ones that exist in this room that I did not name with your grace, with your goodness, with your power, with your forgiveness, God, with your hope, with faith that brings courage for the future, that every last one of these precious people, every man, every woman, every marriage, every young adult, everyone in this room, everyone joining us online, has a hope-filled future if our hope is in Jesus Christ. And thank you that today would be a moment that connects us in just a greater way to that future that we have in you, in Jesus' name. And if you'll receive any or all of that for yourself, your marriage, your family, and your future, come on, you know what's coming. Give the Lord a big amen. 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 Okay, so Colossians chapter 3. And here's what it says. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people that he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Anywhere the Bible talks about clothing ourselves with something, here's what that's speaking to, is that it's a choice that we have to make. Just like you get up and you consider your day, you consider your schedule, you consider your appointments, you make a determination, a decision. I promise you, I dress differently when I'm getting up and going to my 5-year-old son Evan's basketball game down at the downtown community center than I do when I'm going to officiate a wedding or officiate a funeral. You consider what you're going to put on. He says, you must clothe yourself. So we have the opportunity to decide to put these things on: tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. That's just felt the Lord just say, Selah right there. Just pause. Just let that settle in a little bit. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always, someone say always. Always. Say it again, say always. Just always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all of its richness fill your lives. What's filling your life today? Is it the message of Christ? And if it's not, maybe today is the opportunity to say, whatever that thing is, whatever that place is, whatever that person is, whatever that possession is that's consuming my life, that's filling my life, Maybe today I should make an exchange for the better and begin to fill that place with the message about Christ, the message of God's grace, the message of God's forgiveness, the message of a hope-filled future through faith in Jesus Christ. Teach and counsel, reading on with all the wisdom that he gives. Lord, give us wisdom in this day. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. It never was about three songs in a sermon. That worship moment is not about warming up the crowd for the message or for the preacher. It's straight up a command from God's word. Sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with thankful hearts. When I'm over here worshiping the Lord, I'm not worshiping because I'm a preacher. I'm worshiping because I was once a sinner. And now I'm saved by the grace of God. And I'm thankful for what God's done in my life. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So I want to talk to you about an attitude of gratitude. I said it earlier, Bishop Eden, you can't control the things that are going to happen in your life, but you have a chance, an opportunity to determine the attitudes that you will have towards those things. An attitude is, I see Terry Marshall right here, he was in the aeronautical industry for a long time, so he could explain this a lot more eloquently than I can today, but attitude is an aeronautical term. And it references the pitch of an airplane. And it speaks to whether that aircraft is ascending or descending. And it's true in our lives as well. Perhaps, like nothing else in our lives, your attitude, the attitudes that you choose to live by, are determining, is your life ascending or descending? I'm just telling you, you show me a person that has a mess of circumstances, but a positive, faith-filled, upbeat attitude, and I will show you a person who it's just a matter of time before their life is ascending in faith because of God showing up in their life. You show me someone who has everything going for them, but has a negative, pessimistic attitude, the other shoe is bound to drop, woe is me, the sky is falling, and I'll show you someone whose life is inevitably descending into those very circumstances because of their choice of attitudes. And so today, can we determine, can we clothe ourselves with these things? Can we make a decision that as for me, as for my house, as for us as a church family, we will have an attitude of gratitude in every season? Philippians 2 verse 5 says this, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So we have to have these attitudes, but attitudes have to affect actions. And Psalm 107 says this, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What we actually say matters more than what we say we believe. Because God is not, God cannot and does not honor good intentions. And so we say we're grateful for God and what he's done in our life. Can you tell by looking at the way that you live? Can you tell by listening to the way that you talk? And today I'm encouraging you, the attitude of gratitude is intended to affect and influence the actions with which we live. The psalmist kind of felt this struggle when in Psalm 107 in verse 8, further down, he said, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, verse 13, and he saved them out of their distresses. This is not about just thanking God when everything is going well for you. They cried out to the Lord when? In a time of trouble, in a time of distress. And it says he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks. Someone say, give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Thanksgiving is more than a holiday. I'm grateful for the holiday. Come on, who's looking forward to Thursday and Thanksgiving? I'm thankful for the food and the family and the friends and the football and the faith that we'll gather around that table with, but I'm telling you, more than a holiday that a few people will celebrate, it's an opportunity to live this life every day. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, Ephesians 5. Always giving thanks. Once again, just say always. Always, every circumstance. Being thankful is not just good Christian behavior, it's a powerful spiritual weapon, and I want to show you how the Bible has something to say about how it protects, directs, and connects us to God. You know, we've been talking about the people and the nation of Israel, and I didn't intend to weave this into this message, but I was just reminded of what the Bible says in Numbers 14, where it says this in verse 29, as the people are making their way towards the promised land, they've encountered some difficulties. They've encountered some unforeseen, unexpected chapters in their story. God's miraculously rescued them from a life of bondage and slavery. It's a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do in and through Jesus through the cross in our lives. And they're on their way to that. And watch what God says to them in Numbers chapter 14. Because you have grumbled against me, surely none of you will enter the land which I swore that you would settle. But if you read the story, Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit, the Bible said. They had a different spirit. They had a faith-filled, optimistic, hope-filled spirit. They had an attitude of gratitude for what God had already done. And so how was it tied to an attitude of gratitude, Pastor T? I think it was because they had seen what God had already done in their life, and they chose to remain thankful and grateful and mindful of who God was and what God had already done in their life. That's what gratitude is all about. And it postured them to have the faith that the same God who had led them through that river, the same God who had rescued them from bondage, the attitude of gratitude connected them to the faith to understand that the same God who did it then is going to do it today. Giving thanks connects us. Number one, it's relational. It's the pathway. I said connect. And connect, the word I want to use is relational. It's the pathway to experience more of God's presence. And you know, God is, Exodus chapter 34 says that God is a jealous God, right? It's kind of interesting. It's kind of confusing. I think what it means is he's jealous for your time, your attention, for your affection. He understands. He's a good father. He understands what's on the other side of us giving our time and our affection and our attention to other things, the things of the world. And so it says he's a jealous God. He yearns jealously for a relationship with you. He doesn't want you to just have a form or a system of religion. He desires a relationship with you. So he's a jealous God, according to Exodus chapter 34, but he's anything but a selfish God. So he's jealous, but he's not selfish. And so everything in God's word is intended to posture us and position us to receive from him. And so with that as the backdrop, watch what he says. In Psalm 95, he says, let us come before him with thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. God is giving us some insider information here. He's saying, if you want to approach me, if you want to come into my presence, if you want to experience more of God in your life, in your quiet times, in your circumstances, in the difficult moments, he says, you come before me, you approach me, you want to connect with me and relate with me, he says, approach me with thanksgiving. And isn't it true in our lives? Who likes to be around someone who just really looks forward to having a meeting with or an encounter with someone who is just a grumbler and a complainer and a negative person? Are there any hands? Come on, I mean, maybe, who said that over there? Someone's a liar in church. You know what? You can't lie in church. Can't lie in church. No one. But who looks forward to being around someone who is hopeful, optimistic, encouraging, and thankful? They're just always just looking to be grateful. Hey, thank you for making time. Oh, man. Thank you for making time to have breakfast with me. Recently, I had a breakfast with a friend, and he took the moment to reach out to me and just said, thank you for making time. I know you have a busy schedule. Thank you for making time to have breakfast with me. And I thought, man, that does something to my heart. I'll have breakfast with you anytime you want. You know who you are. The attitude of gratitude allows us to approach God and to experience him at a different level. God's giving us some insider information here. It's not because of what it does for God. God does not have self-esteem issues. It's because he knows that this is a pattern for you and I to receive from God. It's the attitude, which is the posture, the perspective that allows blessing to most readily be released into your life with God and with people in your life. All right, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. And in verse 6, you might have expected that I would have gone to the scripture as part of this message. Here's what it says. Do not be anxious about anything. Be anxious for nothing. But in every situation, someone say every, by prayer or petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So in relationships, we oftentimes, whether it's with God, whether it's with your spouse, whether it's with your church, whether it's with your pastor, whether it's with someone else in your life, I mean anyone, in any relationship, we oftentimes begin to take things for granted, right? We oftentimes begin to fail to fully appreciate the things that we once appreciated. We lose sight of the things that have blessed us. Over time, the enemy causes us to begin to focus on the frustrations, on the weaknesses that people have. Listen, this is not an excuse for bad behavior. So this is not a justification for situations or circumstances or behaviors that really do need to change or shift. And let me just encourage you, if it's important to your spouse for it to change, it ought to be somewhat important to you. So this is not, do not email me next week and say, Pastor T, I told her that she needs to just appreciate the good and not pester me about the few things that she keeps pestering me about. I will quickly forward that email to Pastor Micah right back there. That's what I'll do. So this is not an excuse for continuing bad behavior. This is not an excuse to just say, hey, you just need to focus on the good things. There are real times, real seasons where we need to make an effort to pick up our underwear off the bathroom floor. So my wife just said amen to that. Did she say amen to that? There are moments in life where we need to endeavor to change and to get better, to do better. But this is the pattern that God presents that creates the atmosphere for people to change. Someone needs to hear that. This is the atmosphere that will best posture and position that person who needs to pick up their stuff or needs to change or needs to be better or do better. This is the atmosphere that will position them to change. You will rarely, if ever, pester someone into significant life change. Oh, I heard some people go, that's true, that was good. I wonder if we were doing that because we've been guilty of it or because we felt what it feels like for someone to try to do that to us. I think it's probably both, right? You'll rarely pester someone into significant life change or badger them or belittle them. But I'm just telling you, if you'll start to mind, it might take some faith. But come on, we live by and not by. So what we see is one thing. You might have to mine. Look hard, dig deep for something that's praiseworthy. Isn't that what we just read? Anything. If you just find anything that's praiseworthy, anything that's good, any virtue, start looking for the little things. And you start to call that out with gratitude and appreciation, and you just watch, especially if you're married to a man, how that will motivate him to begin to want to change and do better and do gooder, like Pastor Richard said a few weeks ago. Perspective is powerful. Yesterday we gathered as a church family. Thank you to those who did whatever part you could do, donated, took the bags, bought the food, brought the food back here, came to serve yesterday. We went out on that Thanksgiving outreach, and I told the teams as they were gathering in this room yesterday as we were mobilizing them, I said, we don't pretend that one meal is going to change someone's financial situation or whatever, but what we're taking them is beyond the one meal that we're bringing them today. It's a message of hope. It's a message of hope that God sees, God hears, God cares. There's a people who care. There's a church who cares. There's a God who cares and will help you out of your circumstances if you look to him and turn to him. So we gathered and we went out to, and thank you guys for being a part of that. But I'm just telling you, sometimes it's easy to lose perspective of just how many people are in hurting, desperate situations. Amity and I led a couple of our kids up to a door yesterday and knocked on a door. It's always kind of an anxious moment there, you know, what's on the other side of this door. And a young man answered, and he had a big smile on his face, right? I'm not going to use his name. I remember it, but I'm not going to use it. Had a big smile on his face, and he was super grateful, excited, and appreciative to see us standing at his door, holding a frozen turkey and a bag of groceries and a foil pan to cook the turkey in. And we had some pleasantries there, you know, and as we were stepping away, I said, is there anything that we can be praying for you about? He said, well, for my wife, because 8 months ago she had a tragic accident, she's fully paralyzed from the neck down. Young, this is a young man, I don't know what, 20s? She's bound to be a young woman. And he said, it's the reason that we need this food today, because I had a stable job and we had a good life going, and then this accident happened, and now I went in one day to being a full-time home healthcare worker for my wife. Some of you have experienced things like that. Some of us haven't. And I'm telling you, perspective is powerful. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for the reminder. Some of the things that I'm fussing and moaning about, I think that sentence right there finishes itself, right? Some of the things that I'm worried about, fussing, moaning about, complaining about, grumbling about, maybe not as hard or as difficult or as bad as what some other people are going through. So perspective is powerful. It informs an attitude that just says, Lord, I'm going to refuse. I am going. Attitude of gratitude is more than just good Christian behavior. It's a powerful spiritual weapon to shut the door on the lies of the enemy and to keep yourself postured and positioned to connect to God, to relate to Him. It's relational. Number two, it's directional. It keeps us moving forward. It keeps us moving forward towards God's plans and purposes for our life. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this, verse 16, rejoice always. Someone say always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all. Someone say all. All circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. Easy to say, hard to do, right? Watch this. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Wait a minute, Pastor T. You're always telling us how God has this big plan, big dream, big vision for our lives. You're telling me that this is the will of God for my life? God does have a big plan and a big vision for your life. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, now to him who is able, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, more than we ask or imagine. God's part is to bring the more, but our asking, thinking, dreaming, imagining establishes the floor for God's more. So the pathway to discover the big dream, big vision, the calling, the purpose, the significance. And don't get these things confused. What the world is saying fits in that calling might be different than some of the things that God's calling you to focus on. But that life, the pathway to discover it, experience it, and enjoy it, the formula is given right here. Rejoice always, pray always, give thanks always. And it says, in all circumstances. Did you catch that? I think there's something significant that it didn't say for all circumstances. It says in the moment, in the struggle, in the toil, in the doubt, in the unbelief, in the struggle. Give thanks in that moment. You don't have to give thanks for it. And here's the powerful principle right here is that when you're in that moment and you're giving thanks, that is the secret to getting out of and into the next season of your life. Lord, I'm just thankful for this. Well, why? That person is just praising the Lord and have that young man yesterday with a big smile on his face. God, help me to have that kind of a perspective about life. When I go through difficult things, unforeseen things, and I'm just telling you begin to just say, I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to abdicate. I'm not going to wait till things begin to shift or change. In this moment, I'm going to find a way, even if I've got to look hard, to begin to give God thanks for what he's done in my life, for who he is in my life. And it's the pathway to connect you to the will of God that he has for your life. I say this a lot, the pathway to the new and the next and the more of God. And there's a new, there's a next, and there's a more of God for every last one of you. Someone needs to hear that once again. There's a new, there's a next, there's a more for every last one of you. He's not done with you. He's not finished with you. And you might say, but Pastor T, if you knew what I was going through, what I'm up against, what I've been through, what I did, what I'm thinking, I'm just telling you, there's a new, there's a next, there's a more for every one of you because we serve a limitless God and he's got a hope-filled future for you. The pathway to the new and the next and the more of God, I say this often, is faithfulness with the what? Now of God. But perhaps that statement becomes even more powerful if we allow ourselves to exchange faithfulness with the now of God with thankfulness with the now of God. Is it possible? Because is it possible that if you really determine or redetermine to become thankful for something or someone, is it possible that that's what actually inspires faithful to and with someone or something? Is it possible that maybe the loss of thankfulness predicates the loss of faithfulness? In fact, most questions I ask are rhetorical. I'd like to see by a showing of hands, is it possible that a loss of thankfulness for something predicates the potential loss of faithfulness with something? Let me see your hands if you think that potentially is true. If you're thankful, really thankful, you'll be faithful. God is looking for faithful men, faithful husbands, faithful women, faithful young people in the midst of a cultural storm, in the midst of cultural decay. And maybe that's inspired and motivated by going back to just saying, man, I'm just thankful that Jesus came and found me. I'm thankful that he left the 99 and he came and he found me. The psalmist said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And maybe that's a hallmark of spiritual maturity, is never losing sight of the gratitude that we have that Jesus came and found me in the midst of all my stuff, brokenness, failures, misgivings. Again, not a rhetorical question. Let's raise our hands. Who's grateful that Jesus left the 99 to come and found you? Man, thank you, Lord. Who occasionally loses sight of the gratitude that we should have that God came and found you? I think we're getting it today. In every relationship, starting with God, recommitting, rededicating yourself to this is a secret to breakthrough in your life. It's relational, it's directional, it's protectional. The peace of God, do not be anxious about anything, rereading Philippians chapter 4, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, more than a holiday, an attitude, a lifestyle, a commitment, present your request to God, and watch this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. It says, and the peace of God. So it says, God's part is to bring the peace of God. Our part is to present our situations with thanksgiving. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It says, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And that Greek word for guard is the Greek word phoreo, and it's a military term that means this, to guard or protect by a military force, either to prevent a hostile invasion or to keep the inhabitants of a besieged city from taking flight. So in other words, when he's saying that when we present things with thanksgiving before God, he's saying, I'll guard your heart. He said, gratitude will insulate your heart from the destructive forces of the enemy. I'll put a phoreo, a military-style guard around your heart that will keep the enemy from advancing into your heart and that will prevent the things that I've spoken, I've done, I've promised over your life from quickly fleeing your life. How? Why? Because of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. Giving thanks guards your heart against destructive forces. Waves of people dealing with depression and discouragement and despair. And I'm not giving you the full recipe or whatever, but I'm telling you with certainty that it's a part of the recipe to just go back and begin to say, Lord, would you help me to begin to focus and emphasize the things that I have to be grateful for? When we determine to live mindful, when we determine to be grateful for who we are, for who God is, for what we have in Christ, we discover a joy and a peace that can't easily be stolen. And it's not just Pastor T's opinion. It's the Bible, but also if you will go and you will look and you will read, and trust me, I have, and you can do it for yourself, study after study, the University of California, Harvard Medical School, not exactly beacons of Christianity and faith-filled perspectives, they have also shown time and time and time again that what God's word says proves to be true. Go read some of those studies. People who choose to have a disposition of gratitude, and more importantly, those that express outwardly gratitude, are overwhelmingly healthier, happier, and more fulfilled in life. Not because of circumstances, but because of attitudes. It's protectional. Begin to guard your heart from the pitfalls of comparison. Man, that's a trap, right? Comparison. What someone else has, what God's doing in someone else's life. We were in life group on Wednesday night. One of my dear friends there, we were having a powerful conversation, and he just made this statement. He says, yeah, most folks who are overnight sensations have only been working at it for 30 years. Don't compare yourself with where someone else is in their marriage, their finances, their business, their relationship with God. Just be thankful for where you're at today, and that's the pathway to the new and the next and the more of God. Lastly, right here, fourth point, it's provisional. It's provisional. It moves the heart of the king. He said, present your request before God with thanksgiving, right? With thanksgiving. How's it look? That looks like this. Lord, I thank you that you're going to meet this need. Lord, I thank you that you're going to heal my heart. Lord, I thank you that you're going to provide. Lord, I thank you that you're going to make a way. So why is that important? Because God wouldn't tell us to do it if it wasn't important, because gratitude in advance of God showing up creates the ultimate atmosphere of faith. It blows out the middle ground of doubt and unbelief. I'm already thanking God for the healing. I'm already thanking God for making the way. I'm already thanking God for showing up. It creates the ultimate atmosphere of faith. It blows out the middle ground of doubt and unbelief. Lord, I thank you that that loved one is going to come back to serving God. Lord, I thank you that there's going to be a new and fresh season in our home, in our life, in our marriage, in our family. Lord, I thank you. Present your request with thanksgiving. He cares about your needs, your cares, your fears, your dreams. It might not go exactly the way that you think it will go or should go. It might not happen in the timing with which you predicted or anticipated, but if you'll just start thanking God, I promise you it's the pathway to the new and the next and the more. It positions us in faith, and it also moves the heart of the Father. And I want to just encourage you to allow yourself to envision this as I tell this story. What if you received, let me set it up differently. What if you were completely up to your eyeballs in debt? I mean, insurmountable. You'd made some bad choices. And you'd had some things move against you that were unfair. But that's the condition that you found yourself in. There was no way that you would ever be smart enough or good enough or brilliant enough to find your way out of your condition. And let's say that's the condition that you found yourself in, and let's say that in that condition you received a letter from someone that you knew was extravagantly wealthy. And inexplicably good. And true to his word. And you received a letter, and here's what it said. It said, I'm writing this letter to encourage you that I've seen your condition. And I'm writing this letter to inform you that I'm taking responsibility for your debts, every one of them. And I'm paying the price that you could never that you might be set free from the weight of this debt and given the opportunity to once again live your life without the concern or the pain of your past. Those mistakes, those unfair things that happened to you. So I think you know where I'm going with this, but remember I'm kind of asking you to consider a practical illustration. So in real life, if you found yourself in that condition and you got that kind of a letter and you knew, I mean, it was signed, it was notarized, it was from that person, and you knew that they were good to stand behind what they were writing in the letter. Let's say you received the letter, and let's say a few weeks later, no transaction has actually occurred yet, but you run into that person. What would your perspective towards them be? The timing of the transaction hasn't occurred yet because it's a massive transaction, but lots of zeros at the end of this transaction. Things would have to be kind of moving behind the scenes to fully execute the transaction that was going to clear and pay your debts. But let's say you ran into that person and all you had in that moment was their word that you found in that letter. What would your posture towards them be? You haven't received a penny, but wouldn't you be thankful? Wouldn't you run to them and say, I can't believe that you would do something like that for me. And I'm so thankful. What would the posture of the person be if because you had not, because you were yet to receive, the fullness of the transaction if you just kind of brushed them off or acted indifferent towards them? Do you think that it would motivate them more to want to fulfill their end of the deal or less? Probably less, huh? But if you ran to them and you said, I cannot believe that you are doing what you're doing for me. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. It's going to make a way for this and this and this. It's going to set the burden. It's going to remove the burden of that from me and from my family, from my heart, from my mind. I'm so thankful for what you've decided to do in my life. Did you know that that's what this is right here? It's a letter from God saying, I've seen your condition, and I know that you could never be good enough, smart enough, brilliant enough, strategic enough to find your way out of that condition. But I'm sending my son, I'm making a way, I'm paying the price, I'm paying your debts to give you the opportunity to have a new life and a fresh start, a clean slate. And for some of us, we sort of approach God with kind of a lackadaisical attitude. But can we commit today that we'll, even in the moments where maybe the fullness of what God's doing, again, he's working some things out behind the scenes, the timing, the delivery, the execution of the promise, the transaction, maybe it's still, God's working in your life. But while he's working, can we just commit and determine to, in a new way, a fresh way, a more deeper way, to just begin to approach him with thanksgiving? Lord, I thank you that you're working them out. In fact, just right now, would you stand to your feet and just begin to tell him thank you. Stand to your feet right now. Just begin to tell him thank you for what he's doing in your life. You haven't seen it yet. The transaction hasn't hit your account yet. The bills haven't been paid yet, but God's working in your life. He sent you his word. He said, I'll be your source. I'll be your provision. Right now, would you just begin to tell him thank you? And come on, attitudes need to inform our activities and our actions. And maybe it's new for you, but I'm just encouraging you. I am going to challenge you today and encourage you. I'm going to stretch you today. Right now, would you find the grace, maybe just in the stillness, in the quietness of just your own voice and your breath, to just begin to just tell the Lord thank you. Just begin to tell him. Just say thank you. If you got nothing else to say thank you for, just say thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my health, if you got your health. Thank you, Lord, for my church. Thank you, Lord, for the job you have given me. There's a new one, a better one that's coming for you, but the pathway to the new and the next and the more of God is faithfulness and thankfulness with the now of God, the job you have today, the opportunities, the open doors you have today. Lord, thank you. Just come on, church family. Let's grow a little bit today. Let's be stretched a little bit today. Right there, just begin to tell the Lord thank you. Find a way. Look for something. Mine for something. Dig deep. Maybe you're up a creek. You're in a storm, you're in a battle, but I promise you there's something that you can begin to right now in this moment, just begin to express your gratitude towards God for. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for what Jesus did. Thank you for paying the price. Thank you for the word of God. Man, we take this for granted, the living, breathing, active word of God, and we let it get dusty on our bookshelves. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Help us, Lord, to not take it for granted anymore. Thank you for the work of the cross in our lives. Thank you for the future that we have in you. Yeah, we got some problems, but we have a Savior who is faithful. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Just begin to give thanks. Present your request with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in advance for some of these folks who are not looking forward to family gatherings because of the tension or the strife or the discord or the disagreement. Lord, thank you, Lord, that they would already just begin to say, thank you, Lord, for making a way, giving me the grace to keep my mouth shut or not do the thing or say the thing. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the grace, Lord, to even be the one that would be the first one to initiate the process to ask for forgiveness or extend the forgiveness. Lord, thank you, God. We're just thanking him right now. What is it? Your cares, your needs. Present your request. What are you up against? What are you going through? That's a great place to begin to approach God. The Bible says we come boldly to God, to the throne of grace in a time of need, not just on our good days. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the solution. Thank you for the answer. Thank you for the direction. Thank you for the protection. In Jesus' name. And right there, as you're just continuing to just give thanks to God for what he's done in your life, and not just what he's done, but who he is, a faithful God, a gracious Savior. Right there where you are, as you're continuing to do that, I want to give people the opportunity to receive the free gift of salvation that we only experience through Jesus Christ. We do not get good to get God. We come to him right in the middle of our mess. And he encounters us in that situation, in that moment. And he meets us there, and that's where he washes us clean, renews our life, makes us new. And so if that's you today, you're here and you're weighed down by sin and the burden that it brings and the guilt and the shame and the condemnation, or maybe you've drifted from God. Maybe you once knew him, loved him, maybe even served him, but you've drifted from God. And if that's you, Jesus told a parable about a person like you. When he told that parable of the prodigal son, the wayward one, the one who went, tried to do it in his own strength, his own way, but eventually he found himself where the father knew he'd find himself, at the end of his funds, and at the end of his friends. And he said, man, maybe if I just go back to my father's house, he'll just make me a servant in his house. But you remember the story, and if you don't, I'll tell you, that was not the father's heart. The father's heart was looking for, longing for, eagerly anticipating and expecting the moment where that wayward son would just take one step back on the property, and that father ran to that person, put his arms around him, welcomed him back, and restored him back to full position in the royal family. A ring on his finger, a robe on his back, and a royal festival for the whole community to just celebrate one person who came back home to their heavenly father. And so my question for you today is, are you in either one of those camps or anywhere in between? And if you are, right now is your moment. This is the day of salvation, and your life will never be the same because of this moment right now. And you know who you are right now. Don't wait, don't delay. Would you lift your hand high towards heaven and just say, that is me. I need to be forgiven. That is me. I need to come home back into a relationship with my heavenly Father. Lord, thank you for these precious people. Thank you, Lord, for what this represents, God. Outward hands, representative of an inward work that you're doing in their hearts. Thank you, Lord, for these young men. Thank you, Lord, that you're washing them clean. You're making them new. There's a new life, a new start. The Bible says that all the old things are passed away right now, defeated forever by the blood and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now there's an opportunity for a new start, a new life. The Bible says you're being born again right now. This is you have a physical birthday. Today's your spiritual birthday. There's a new life that God's inviting you to. And so if you raised your hand, you could lower it. And here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna pray this prayer with you. We don't want you to go it alone, and God didn't intend for you to go it alone. And we want you to hear the sound of brothers and sisters in Christ coming alongside you right now with lending our voice of support for this life, for this decision, for this determination that you're making to follow Christ. And we also, every time we do it, it's also reminding us that we never graduate from grace, right? Man, aren't you grateful? This, on a week that's called Thanksgiving, aren't you grateful, thankful for the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God. So come on, with these amazing young men, I think it was all young men that came to Christ today. Let's pray this prayer. Pray in a resounding way. And sorry if there was a woman and I missed your hand. God saw your hand. You're not responding to a person anyways, right? So let's pray this prayer. Pray it boldly. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price that I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you my life, and I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, say it loudly, I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Can we rejoice with all of heaven for these amazing guys that came home to Christ today? Come on. Whew. Hey, we're gonna worship the Lord one more time, but let me just encourage you. Man, I hope you have a blessed Thanksgiving. Can I say one thing? I'm thankful for you. You say, Pastor T, you don't know me. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the life that God created through you, in you, what he's doing in you. I'm thankful that he's made you a part of this spiritual family. And I'm just telling you, as I'm thankful for all those other things that I'm thankful for, the food and the family and the friends and the faith that we have in Jesus, I'm gonna be praying for you and giving thanks for you, amen? God bless you, man. I hope you guys have a great, great, great Thanksgiving. Don't forget, it's more than a holiday. It's an attitude, it's a lifestyle that positions us relationally, that extends the provision, that connects us to the direction of God for our life. Amen? Amen? Hey, God bless you. We're thankful for you. Let's worship the Lord one more time together, then we'll come and dismiss you. God bless you. We love you.